Good morning and welcome as we've come together on this beautiful Sunday morning of this Labor Day weekend as we've gathered for the offering of this Mass. And to all guests, a special welcome. Your presence with us here today is a great blessing. And please know for our guests and for our new parishioners, we have a welcome table set up just right across from the entrance into the chapel. Feel free to introduce yourself to me at the end of this Mass. I'll be in the vestibule around the baptismal font. My thanks to Father Mark Cruz, who was here last weekend with you, the Filipino missionary priest, and also my thanks for your welcome that you gave to him. I spent last weekend with my mom. She's doing quite well down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. She's looking forward to her visit in November for the Women's Craft Fair and Bake Sale, and the bakery operation is in preparation to begin. For our guest, my mom bakes. Last year, she baked 100 cakes and brought them to be for sale. So she's gearing up now. So the factory production is going to begin in her kitchen. You're looking forward, again, forward to being here. Please know that for the special events this week, the women's gathering, it's for all the women in the parish. Child care is provided, so the younger women may be able to take part as well. We have Mass, special Mass on Tuesday evening at 6 for the women and then for the dinner afterwards. And also know that our rite of Christian initiation of adults, we're beginning that on Wednesday at 7. So if you know somebody who's looking for a church home, who has no church home, looking for someone who has been away from the practice of the Catholic faith for a while and now wants to be coming back into that, invite them, bring them on Wednesday evenings at 7. They'd be certainly glad to join us here. We will have next weekend a special collection at all of our Masses at the request of Bishop Condrilla. It will go to aid those suffering from the effects of Hurricane Harvey on the Gulf Coast. The flooding that we've seen there in Houston, Beaumont, Galveston, Port Arthur, and elsewhere. There are two options. He asked the parishes either this weekend or next weekend. I figure a lot of people would be away at the lake, this being Labor Day weekend. So we're going to have our special collection next Sunday. And it will go to all donations will go to Catholic Charities USA to be distributed for those for the recovery and relief efforts along the Gulf Coast. And we certainly have seen some heart-rending images and photos and videos coming out of that area. 50 inches of rain. The recovery is going to be going on for months, if not years. We've also seen some other images that I think are encouraging. The people coming together to rescue one of the Cajun Navy. You know, the people from Louisiana, their flat-bottom boats, you know, they had no, now we do, we had such a thing, but now we do know. Going out and reaching out to their brothers and sisters who are strangers to them, but helping them in their need that they are showing up. And what a contrast. Those images that we saw this last month of violence and hatred in the streets, whether in Charlottesville, Virginia, or whether in Berkeley, California. But now we see people coming together, and that's something that we can take encouragement from and strength for in the future as the recovery is going to continue for some time. But let's also be honest, we'd rather not have to do this. We'd rather not have to take up a special collection, rather not have the Cajun Navy, rather not, also the National Guard unit in Tulsa is being activated to go help in the Houston area. We'd rather that none of this happened, that people don't have to endure floods and rains of 50 inches and hurricanes and so on and so on. But it did happen. So we do what we would rather not have to do because it has to be done. Give you some other examples, maybe closer to home. Those of you who are parents and grandparents, I have no doubt there's been more than once you've been up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a sick child. You'd rather not have to have done that, but you did. Or you've been up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a sick spouse, taking care of a husband, a wife. You'd rather not have to done that, do that, but you did. Also, for some of us in a different place in life, there have been times that we've been up at 3 o'clock in the morning taking care of one of our parents or grandparents in their illness or as they are dying. We'd rather not have to have done that, but we did because it had to be done. And also, when we do such things, we are showing a level of maturity, a responsibility. And that is all well and good. That's what we're called to be as responsible adults, responsible citizens, and so on. We're also called to maturity of our faith, a spiritual maturity. I think that's what we're hearing briefly from the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. He's living about 600 years before the birth of Jesus. And his words are some of the most powerful and heart-rending in the Old Testament. He's been called to be a prophet at a very difficult time in the history of the kingdom of Jerusalem. And also, apparently, Jeremiah is young. So young that when God calls him, he's saying, I think you got the wrong address. I'm a kid. No one's going to listen to me because I'm so young. He may have been in his 20s. There's some scholars who think he might even been in his late teens. And he's only called, and he's young, but he's also called to be a prophet. Now, understand prophet not in terms of, you might think today, it's like, oh, I'm going to crystal ball, look into the future and all that stuff. No, a prophet in the Bible is someone that God calls to speak the truth, with a capital T, to call the people of ancient Israel back to the truth of the covenant on Sinai, back to the truth of the Ten Commandments. And Jeremiah has been called to do that, and he has accepted. But we hear his lament today, his crying out in anguish to God, because it's a message that is unpopular. What's going on is the kingdom is being threatened by a regional superpower, the Babylonians. And there's a great debate. Do we surrender and take our chances? Do we try to ally with the other great regional superpower, the Egyptians? Do we try to play one side off the other? And what Jeremiah is speaking to the people, speaking that truth, is what God is telling them to do, is trust in God. Trust the covenant. Don't trust in the political strongman. Don't trust in the power of your armies. Don't trust in political manipulations. If you need to surrender, surrender, and God will look after you. And for that message, Jeremiah is mocked. He is ridiculed. He is physically beaten. He is thrown into prison. And if that wasn't bad enough, the elites reject his message. The truth from God. And the kingdom is destroyed. The temple is destroyed by the Babylonians. And Jeremiah dies in exile. So we hear his lament, but we also hear him, they say that because he has chosen to be a prophet, to speak the truth, it burns in him that holy fire, and he can do nothing else. He can be nothing less than to be the prophet he's been called to. He has that spiritual maturity which doesn't know an age limit, age requirement. Now you know the state fair is beginning in a few weeks, just down the street and around the corner. And for our guest, we have a priest here, Father Michael Pratt. He's in residence. He's the vocation director. He's not lived here before. He's not lived through the state fair. Here it is just being down the street. So I'm debating, do I tell him what's in store? Do I warn him about the traffic? Do I tell him that every night for more than a week, he's going to be serenaded by the concerts going on? He'll be able to hear them from his room in the rectory. Or do I just kind of let him experience that all on his own, you know? I'm still debating what I'm going to do about that. But you know, at the state fair on the midway, they have those rides. And for the children, they say, you gotta be so high to get on this ride. You gotta be so tall. You gotta be so certain age. But being a prophet, one that's been called to proclaim the truth, there's no age requirement. Whether one is young, whether one is old, we are called to a spiritual maturity. And I think that's what Peter, the apostle, is being called to in today's gospel. Now, if you, last Sunday's gospel, remember that? I'm talking about Peter going from hero to zero in record flight, just in a few verses. Remember last Sunday when he proclaims that Jesus is the Christ? He's asked, who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he gets that new name, Peter, meaning the rock. And the faith of the church is built upon that rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They will try 24/7, but they will never succeed. Peter's made that profession with his lips. Now today, he has to learn to be corrected about what that actually means. Because Jesus explains what it means is that I will go and I will be to Jerusalem and I will be crucified. I will be betrayed and I will suffer. And Peter doesn't want to hear that. What he's wanting to do, he's kind of wanting to pick out the parts of all this Messiah and Savior business that sound good, that fit into what he thinks a Messiah and a Savior should be, and he kind of wants to ignore the rest. Now, probably part of what's going on, in fairness to Peter, that he doesn't want to see Jesus suffer. But also, he's putting himself in that position of telling Jesus what to do. And that's why Jesus rebukes him. said, stand behind me. He's not pushing him away so much as reminding him the position of a disciple is that one who follows Jesus, listens to Jesus, acts upon what he or she hears so that to be truly to have that spiritual maturity. Because what Peter's doing, he's picking out the parts that he likes, that affirms his beliefs. Sound familiar? I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Maybe you all don't do that, but I know I'm tempted to do it. To pick out the parts of the gospel message, pick out the part of what the church proclaims to be true as revealed by God. The temptation is to the parts that reinforce or confirm our beliefs, our behaviors. We pay attention to that and the woes that challenge those beliefs, that challenge those behaviors. Well, we just kind of want to turn a blind eye, ignore, pass over, or out and out reject. Jesus challenges Peter and challenges us not to do that. To have that level of spiritual maturity, to do the hard things. And being that disciple, to listen, to follow, to be that prophet, is choosing to do the hard things when it's so much easier simply to pick out the parts that we like. St. Augustine had a phrase for that. He says, when we pick out the parts of the gospel that we like and we ignore the rest, we're not worshiping God, we're worshiping ourselves. To truly be a disciple is a hard thing. To accept that fullness of the truth is a challenge, and the Lord calls us to it. Calls us to the fullness of faith, the fullness of mature discipleship, because it's so much easier to want a Christ without a cross, a Christianity that does not challenge, that does not call us to sacrifice. But that's not an authentic faith. That's an immature discipleship. And Jesus challenges us to do the hard thing, to be a Jeremiah. And we live in a culture now, increasingly, just by saying that you believe in God, you're going to be opened up to being mocked and ridiculed. Now, what would it be like, what would it look like to be a modern day Jeremiah? Or that mature disciple? Let me give you an example. 3 weeks from yesterday, we will officially acknowledge one of our own, a Catholic from Oklahoma, to be a citizen of heaven. The beatification of Father Stan Rother, Oklahoma-born missionary, priest, and martyr for defending the poor. He saw the fulfillment of his baptismal vows by taking the vows of priesthood. He saw the fulfillment of his priesthood by becoming a missionary in this small, poor community in central Guatemala, and that living fully that faith as a priest. But that also meant doing the things that were hard, doing the things he'd rather not have to do. Such as when the Civil War touched that part of Guatemala and its parishioners began disappearing and their bodies being found on the sides of roads. And one horrible day in January 1981, 11 men in his parish were gunned down by the army. And it's a suspicion that they might somehow be involved with the guerrillas. Those bodies were laid out in the plaza in front of the parish church for the families to claim. And there was great reluctance to do so because they knew they claimed the body of their husband, of their father, of their brother, of their son, that could mark them as a sympathizer to the guerrillas and mark them for death. But as every family stepped forward to claim a body, Father Rother stood by them. He did what he'd rather not have to do. And he did it anyway. That's a mark of mature discipleship. That's the mark of being a Jeremiah. That was in January 1981. By July, he was murdered. A martyr for the faith, for defending the poor. We are called as disciples, as the church, not to take the easy route, but to do the things that are hard, to proclaim the fullness of the faith, to make the sacrifices, to embrace the cross, to follow Jesus. To be prophets, to be disciples. Through the intercession of the saints, and by the Eucharist that we share together today, may we desire with that burning love, as that burned in the heart of Jeremiah, to accept nothing less.